Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni. Today, I'm joined, as usual, by my co-host, Cody Thompson. What's your word today, Cody? How you doing?
I was trying to think of another one. I think I used fantastic on the last one, but I'm having a good day, so I can use fantastic twice.
All right. We've got a special guest on, Bo Johnson. How are you doing, Bo?
Fantastic. Also,
okay, well, fantastic is the word.
Pick my own word.
That's right. Now, rest assured, Tracy is with us. She's not on mic, but she's the adult supervision, making sure this train doesn't run off the tracks. And Matt's on the computer, our engineer. And so we're gonna hold this together. We got, I think, a really interesting topic today, Cody. What is that?
Yeah, we titled it, "You're Not Tired, You're Fatigued."
That's right. You know, words really matter. And the word that I've been hearing a lot lately is fatigued, or fatigue, and it's usually used in conjunction with burnout. And I recently came to the conclusion that this is at best confusing and at worst a little bit dangerous, because it's not what we often think it is. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about why people are fatigued. Many of us listening to this are, many of our employees are, but we tend to think that we're tired and so we need a break. And sometimes that's exactly the wrong thing. And so we talked about this a little bit before, Bo. Tell me a little bit about what that makes you think about.
Yeah, as we were describing it, I thought back to, for me, the early days of work from home and this weird feeling of, why am I so tired? Because I wasn't getting in the car and driving. And even though there were big problems to solve the organization I was working at, there was less to do in many ways, but we were more tired, just sort of worn out. And a lot of the things that we would have thought would be replenishing, oh, more time at home, more flexibility, less time in traffic, somehow that was all coming together to make me and many of my colleagues feel more fatigued, which made me think, maybe I don't actually understand the difference between being tired and being fatigued.
Yeah, you and I are about to get on a plane, Bo, and we're going to be on a plane for most of the next 6 hours. When we land in Florida, we are going to be fatigued.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean I'm tired and I need a break? And that's not what I'm going to need when I get off that plane. Now, I'm probably going to want to go drink caffeine or take a nap, but probably what I need is something else. And that's kind of what this is about. And Cody, you and I were with an executive team at a really big company recently, nice people. And they were talking about, I said, what's your biggest issue you're facing here? And they said, our employees are burned out. They're fatigued. Mm-hmm. And you and I were talking about it because they're not, most of them are not back in the office yet. Many of the larger companies, people listening to this were like, what? Plenty of big companies are still have not brought their people back to work. And yet they're saying that they're burned out and that they're fatigued. And yet they don't need a break. I think what they probably need is to get back into the rhythm of being engaged with other people. They need energy, not necessarily rest.
Right. And this is why that conversation was so interesting, because 10 years ago, if we would have asked an executive at that, you know, at that level, at a company of that size, to say, hey, what are the issues that you're experiencing from your employees? Like, what are you trying to solve around? The idea that they are fatigued or tired would not have ever been on that list. It would have been like, well, you know, our competitors pay a little more. We maybe don't have the right benefits package. And so this is such a new world, and it is contextualized in this whole last 2.5 years of this enormous monumental shift in the way we work. And I think that what makes this topic so interesting is that we're figuring this out live time, which is what is that? How do we address that?
Yeah. And you know, some people might be listening to this, and I know I've thought this recently, like, are we still talking about this? But I think it's taken this much distance into all this and distance removed from it to realize, why would we think people are more burned out today? And it's because burnout, when you think about like a power outage, a burnout, the problem is we have no energy.
Mm-hmm.
So what we need is to find a way to re-energize people. And that often requires that they have more interaction with others and get back into the rhythm of engaging with other human beings. Because, Bo, like you said, there's something about our need for a three-dimensional human being to engage yes. with to give us that energy.
Yes, so much of actual fatigue is it's like you're carrying a burden of different emotions and problems you're having to solve and things you feel like you're responsible for. And there's just no way that a two-dimensional person can help you feel like they're supporting you and listening to you and carrying that with you in the way that a three-dimensional person can help you feel seen, supported, championed. And I think sometimes we don't just need a break from people. We actually need interaction with people to help us overcome some of that fatigue.
And the point of this podcast is that if you're a leader or even doing this for yourself or a friend or a family member, sometimes we try to solve this problem in the wrong way. And we say, wow, you're burned out and fatigued. You need a vacation, or you need to stay home and sleep or rest. Mm-hmm. And like giving a downer to a person with ADD, it actually doesn't solve the problem. And Bo, you said something I thought was fascinating today, that doctors will say that getting too much sleep is just as bad as getting too little.
Yeah.
Where did you hear about that?
Boy, I don't know. But yeah, the idea really resonates with me that we were chatting about this. So many of our friends are finalizing their summer vacation plans and they think, oh, if I just can kind of disconnect for a week, that will recharge me. And I think, you know, I wonder what it would look like to examine your last 6 weekends or 4 weekends and say, what is it that actually recharged you? Because it might be that the thing you're assuming is what you need, oh, to go veg or go watch sports or go be by yourself, might actually not be the thing that recharges you. In the same way, we should do the same thing at work to figure out what are the things that we actually do that contribute that might be require energy of us, but actually are filling because we're giving the kinds of things that make a lasting difference and that we're put on the planet to help contribute.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. There are times when we have just overworked and we need rest, no doubt about it. But you're right. It's like overdoing even that rest can put us into a different kind of fatigue. And I admit, if I've ever, I don't know when the last time I did it, but if I ever slept for 10 hours, I kind of wake up feeling groggy and weird. There's an amount of sleep I need. And beyond that actually doesn't serve me. And when our employees are actually still at home, and Karen in our office said something to me recently too. She said, you know, Pat, when you're at home working, there's times when you feel guilty because you're like, man, I did go watch that TV show with one of my kids, or I did take a break in between things because I can now. And I think it's okay to admit that people's general level of productivity when they're at home is not the same as it is at work. Now, there's benefits to having flexibility. I get that. I totally do. But all of us who worked from home for any period of time realize there's those moments where you're kind of feeling guilty, like, am I busy enough? Am I showing others that I'm busy enough? And managing that guilt and trying to demonstrate that you're busy and productive is another way to get fatigued.
Right.
And sometimes the only way to break that is to wake up every day and go do something and engage with people and have, and then you can work really hard and at the end of the day be exhausted, which is fine. It's better than being fatigued.
Yeah. You know, what I find is interesting, Pat, is sort of how much this applies. So much of what we talk about is actually both a natural law. Like it feels like it's, you know, it's simple wisdom in the sense that, boy, when I'm feeling this way at my home, and an example of this would be when you make a bunch, you know, we've talked about the concept of momentum, right? And for years, we had this momentum in the office place where everyone was getting together and bouncing ideas off each other. And then all of a sudden that came to a abrupt halt. And it's like if you're eating healthy, you're exercising a lot, and then you go on vacation for 7 days, or, you know, now it's 2.5 years, and you start to, you know, be a little more lax on your workout routine or your food consumption, you think that the next right thing for you, like you wake up the day after a vacation and you don't immediately say, boy, I want to have a healthy smoothie breakfast and get back to the gym. It takes a little while to ramp up that momentum to get it back to where it should be. And I think that what's so interesting about this problem that companies are trying to solve is it feels like what they're doing is dangling the wrong carrots. you know, sort of like, oh, what we really need to overcome this level of tiredness or fatigue is to give them more flexibility. When it probably would do, it's sort of like you described the caffeine for a person with ADD, it needs the opposite. So I think that there's these companies that are trying to flex to what people think they need. And in a case like this, you're like, oh, I think I know what you need better than you do.
Right. And we're not saying that you're going to say to somebody, you're not tired. What have you been staying at home? Right. We're not, they really do feel fatigued. It's real. Mm-hmm. It's about providing what they really need, mm-hmm. even if they're not quite realizing it yet.
Yeah. The kind of underneath this whole conversation is identifying what's the real problem. And the real problem might be a couple questions deep. Oh, somebody's tired. Oh, I guess you need a day off. Well, maybe they don't need a day off. Maybe what they need is job realignment. Or I'm exhausted. Okay, well, Kyle, you just need to get to the weekend. No, maybe you need to rethink your weekend or rethink your current output of energy. Maybe you need to rethink your sleep or your diet. Who knows? But I think so often we're jumping to the wrong conclusion because we didn't spend the time to identify what's the real problem.
Right. You know, even as we're saying this, I'm reminded I was just at a friend's house this weekend. And I didn't think of it this way until we're having this conversation, but he joined a company in the middle of COVID. And he told me that he just went to their headquarter office, which was on the East Coast, for the first time ever since he's been hired. So for 2 years, he was working. And what was interesting about it is how much energy and like how alive he felt, saying like, hey, some of these people I'd only ever seen on a Zoom screen for the last 2 years. And so, you know, it speaks to what we're talking about is people tend to think, oh, well, I need more time for rest. When this guy came back from that event, it felt like he was more energized, more connected, sort of that being with the 3D person that you described earlier, Bo. Those are the things that actually livened him up as opposed to drained him of his energy.
You know something? It's so funny, Cody. You made me think of something recently, and that is that I've got a bunch of things going on in my life, a different organization I'm involved in and some other things. And so I've been kind of overwhelmed lately. And so my wife and my son went out of town on a trip for lacrosse and I stayed home and I had 2 full days by myself. And for the first time, I literally stayed home for 2 days in a row and it was extraordinary. I mean, it was so good for me. But what I didn't do is sleep the whole time or sit outside in the sun or just take naps, even though I kind of thought I might do that. It was having the freedom to choose what I was going to work on. And people at work were like, hey, you were supposed to take 2 days off. It looked like you were doing some work. And I was like, yeah, but I was doing work that I love.
Right.
And I did sleep when I wanted to. I did watch a TV show here and there. I exercised, but I actually worked on the things that give me energy. And that's the thing. Had I done what I kind of expected to do, which was like wake up late, binge watch a TV show, eat a heavy breakfast, take a nap, go out by outside, lay in the sun, watch another TV show, I'd have probably been exhausted or fatigued.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's just a matter of, are you working on things that give you energy? And really all of us, and this is what we talk about related to working genius, all of us should be spending a good amount of our time doing the kind of work we're designed by God to do. And so as you were talking about that, I just realized why that was such a good recharge for me. But it wasn't that I was just off the clock. It was just I had the freedom to work on the things I needed.
So let me ask you a question, Pat. So we're kind of talking about this on two levels. One is sort of a macro level as it relates to decisions that companies are making around their people. And so I would ask you, the first question would be, what would you tell a leader in this time to kind of combat this? The other is on a micro level, like individuals who are listening to this and saying, I feel that way. I don't really know what the next step is. How do I get myself out of this sort of malaise or this fatigue? What advice would you give the leader or the person sitting at home?
I would say, instead of thinking about what to take away from that person, ask yourself what they need added to them in terms of like, what's going to energize them? What kind of work would they like to do? What kind of engagement with other people would they like to do? Jackie just had a baby in our office. And
she didn't have it in the office. She had it at the hospital, but in our office where Jackie worked.
No, that would be awesome. Yeah, that's like eat, shoots, and leaves. Jackie, who works in our office, had a baby recently. It depends where you put that prepositional clause, I suppose. So, but Jackie had a baby, but she is chomping at the bit to just be on calls with us because it's fun and she likes to think about work. And we're all like, no, we have to leave her alone. And she's like, no, please don't leave me alone because she likes being home, but she needs some mental stimulation around some of the conversations she had before. And yet we're like going, no, don't call her, leave her alone, and we're going to burn her out. So we're finding that let's add some conversations that give her energy, but give her the freedom to be with Harrison, her new baby, and Liam, her other boy. So it's an interesting thing. We tend to think it's like we have to remove things from people's lives when they're fatigued. But what we really need to do is add the right thing to their lives to give them energy. So that's the advice I would give to a leader is to say, what could I give you that would really help you feel engaged again? Hmm. And that's a whole different kind of conversation. Now, here's the one thing I want to add though, Cody. I think that one of the things that's really added to people's fatigue during these last 2 years is there's one thing we've all added to our lives more than we had before. And that's screen time. I mean, staying home has meant we've binged watched TV more than ever. And I think binge watching has become a national pastime during the last 2 years. And if you talk to anyone who binge watches a show, afterward, they're like, I am just exhausted, or fatigued is what they really mean. And sometimes when I go home, I think, oh, I want to turn off. So I go on and I look at social media, or I read stories on the internet. That does not energize anyone. Mm-hmm. And so I think the interesting thing is that we've kind of lost our idea of what rest really is. Mm-hmm. And we've defaulted in rest to going and turning on a screen. And usually what that does is it takes us outside of our circle of influence in life, and it makes us worry about or think about things we can't change. And that is a recipe for fatigue as well. Bo, you did something this weekend, you said, with your family that brought energy to your family.
Well,
and there was a common denominator there, right?
It was sort of by accident. We went camping this weekend and forgot to download shows on the kids' iPad. So then when it got time for a show time, I was like, oh no, we forgot. So we ended up just sitting by the fire, or, you know, hanging. We played Uno. And then Sunday evening, we're like, boy, they really are getting along really well. And we thought, well, you know, it's not a one-to-one ratio, but there's something about being outside, being face-to-face, not being at a screen. You know, every story that you watch is high emotion or high anxiety or high adventure, and sitting around a fire is just peaceful. And it made me want to make sure I'm rethinking designing my weekends and not just letting them happen by accident.
Yeah, when the power goes out, I think I do some of my best resting because I'm still talking to people I want to talk to and hanging out around a lit candle, but I'm not defaulting to screens. And screens are fatiguing. So I think that's another thing we need to be thinking about as well. You know what else we need to be thinking about? I think is wrapping this podcast up, because we've covered all this stuff. And the point again we want to make is this: yes, your people are fatigued. Yes, you may be fatigued. Your family may be fatigued. These last 2 years have been fatiguing. But let's find a way to restore their energy rather than increasing their fatigue by giving them less to be energized around. All right, I think that's it. Thanks for joining us, everybody. I tell you, every time I talk to somebody who listens to the podcast, It shocks me how much people comment on it, and we're so honored by that. And so we hope this one was helpful to you in some way, and we can't wait to be with you next time on At the Table. God bless.